In today's daf is daf tezayin. We begin the second parak of Maseches Ksubis. So let's take it in the bottom of Tes Vav Mebeis. The new mission, the new parak begins. Ha'isha shenis armala on shenis garish. If a woman is widowed or divorced, he omeres basula nisasani. She says, "I was a basula when I got married, and she deserves a full masayim, a full 200." V'hu omer lo ki ela almana nisasicha. I only married you as a widow. You only owe 100. Now Rashi points out here. Wait a second, if she's an almana, that means her husband's dead. How is her husband claiming that it's only 100? So Rashi explains that the yorshim, the inheritors of the husband, are the ones saying that we only owe you as the yorshim, only almana, because you were only almana. So that was only almana, fine. So that's machlokas. Was she a basula or was she an almana? Does she deserve masayim or does she deserve a mana? So the Mishnah says, im yesh edim sheyatzas behinuma. If they have Aiden that she went out with Behinuma, and the Gemara is going to explain what exactly Hinuma is, it's something that was there at the Chasna that indicates that she was a Basula, or Rosha Parua, or hair was let long, or hair was exposed, that means she was a Basula. If you have Aiden that either one of these were present at the Chasna, that indicates she certainly was a Basula, and Ksubasa Masayim, she's going to collect Masayim. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer, he says, Af Chilek Klayos, right, even if there was a Aiden that said that, I remember giving out Klayos, and Rashi says it was practice to give out candies or nuts to the little kids at a chasam of Basula, that would also be a proof that she was in fact a Basula when they got married. So the Mishnah says, Umode Rabbi Yeshua, Yeshua agrees, and we'll see what he's mode to, because it seems out of context here. Umode Rabbi Yeshua, Beomer Lechavero, person says to his friend, Sada zu shel avicha, this field that I have was actually owned by your father. The individual didn't know it was his father's. This was your father's, Ha'isa. Lekach de'emanu, and I bought it from him. Shuneman, he's trusted, he bought it from him. Why is he trusted? Because the Mishnah says, Shapesha aser, hu apesha hita. The one who asered is also the pad that permitted. In other words, the son had no idea this was his father's. He only knows it was his father's that based on what I had told him. So since I'm the one who says it's aser, in other words, that you really owned it, but I bought it for your father, so apesha aser hu apesha hit. If you look at Rashi on the top of Tez Zayin, says Rashi, shapesha aser ze in yodeya shahisa shalaviv. The son had no idea this was his father's property once upon a time. El al piv, only based on the piv shalzeh, based on what I told him. Umasha aser hare hit. And that's the clout. And then the Mishnah concludes and says, Vim yesha edim shishal aviv. However, if there are witnesses that say that the father owned it, and you no longer need to trust my admission, then v'hu omer l'kachti, and then I say, oh, it was your father's, as the Edom say, however, I bought it from him, heimanu eidon eman, I'm not believed to simply say it, I need a proof of a ksuba, or a shtar rather, or a proof of Edom that I've been living here, and that's mine. So the Gemara tells us now, asks the question, time madi'ika Edom, only because there were Edom, that there was a hemna, or there were klayos, or there was Rosh Parua, there was some Edom that the Chasna was a one of a Basula. However, Ha'leka Edom, if there were no Edom, it seems that we would not trust her that she gets Masayim, rather, we would trust him that it's only a Mana. So again, the Gemara says, Ha'leka Edom, if there are no Edom, the Baal would be Meheman, the Baal would be trusted. So Gemara says, this must go against Rabbi Gamliel, Lema Tanan, let's say our Mishnah Stama Delok Rabbi Gamliel. It can't be like Rabbi Gamliel, because di Rabbi Gamliel ha'amar ihi mehemni. Rabbi Gamliel said in the Mishnah, we trust her over him. And the fact that this Mishnah says, we only trust her over him if there are Edom. But if there are no Edom, we trust him over her, sounds like we do not hold of Rabbi Gamliel. So Gemara says, no. Afilu tema Rabbi Gamliel. Even Rabbi Gamliel would agree to our Mishnah. Although in general, Rabbi Gamliel says we trust her, in this Mishnah he agrees we trust him. Why? Ad kan lo kama Rabbi Gamliel hasam. The only time Rabbi Gamliel says we trust her claim over his claim is only because a case of Bari Veshema, where she says she's vadai a basula, and he says, no, maybe you're not. Since Bari Veshema, Bari Adav, that's where Rabbi Gamliel says we trust her over him. Now, Bahach, in this case, where it's Bari Bari, where both sides are being toein a vadai claim that she says I was vadai a basula, and they say she was vadai almana. That's Bari Bari. There, Rabbi Gamliel says we can't trust her. Gemara says, with the Karle my Karle, what was the Chiddush? That was pretty obvious, the distinction between our Mishnah is Bari Bari, and the previous Mishnah was Bari Veshema. What's the Chiddush here? Gemara says, Kaven derov nashim basulos nisos ki Bari Veshema dami. Maybe you would have thought that in this case, even the taina of the husband that says she was vadai in amana or grusha, that may have been not really a bari claim, because most women are basulas when they get married, so maybe that's going to tip the scale and dilute the taina that she was only an almana, only a grusha. Maybe it would really be considered as if it was a bari v'shema case, and we should trust her. Kamash on that, no. The fact that Rov Nashim Basulos in this case does not tip the scale, and their taina is still a bari taina, and since it's bari v'bari, it's a they neutralize each other. We trust him that she only gets a mana over her, unless there are edim, that in fact she was a basula when she got married. So Gemara says v'hachinayim b'stav. It's also very logical to say that our Mishnah is working within the shita of Reb Gamliel. Midikatani modi Rabbi Yeshua, from the very fact that our Mishnah says, and Rabbi Yeshua agrees, who is he modi to? It must be he's agreeing to his counterpart, namely Reb Gamliel. Because Yamis Mishnah, if you're going to say that our Mishnah is good, I read Reb Gamliel, then be modi the shapir. We understand who he's modi to. El Yamis lo I read Reb Gamliel. If Reb Gamliel is not the author of Mishnah, be modi Rabbi Yeshua leman modi. Who is he admitting to? There's no counterpart here. Elamai must be there. Reb Gamliel is the author of Mishnah, and the reason why he says we don't trust her in our Mishnah is because this is a case of Bari Vibari. And now the Gemara says not true. Who says that Reb Gamliel, that rather Reb Yeshua, is being molded to Reb Gamliel here in our Mishnah? Mi savres Reb Yeshua a high pirkan kai? We have to really say that Reb Yeshua is really referring to our parak. Granted, Reb Yeshua exists in the second parak, but the Gemara says he's referring to something in the previous parak, which is a little strange, but that's a suggestion the Gemara says. Again, mi savres Reb Yeshua a high pirkan kai? Amigo kai a pirkan kamo kai? He's referring to the migo of the previous parak. Now, heya, which mission of the previous parak? Elaim, if you're going to tell me, aha, in the following Mishnah, where it says, Hayisam Uberes, where she's pregnant, Vamrlan, she said, they say there to ask her, Mativel Shel Uberzeh, what is the nature of this child? What's his Yichus? Mish Ploni. It comes from this individual, he's the father, Vikarinu. So what do you do in that case? Rebbe Gamliel, Rebbe Yolayetzer, Omer Nemas, we trust her, because there's a Chazaka, and Rebbe Shua, Omer Lo Mi Pianu Chayim, we don't trust her. So Gemara says, so that can't be the case because Hasan my migo ika hare kriso ben shina. There's no migo. We don't trust her because of any migo in that case. The fact that she's pregnant, that indicates that she's pregnant. There's no migo that her tine is any stronger. So that's not a case of migo. So that's not the Mishnah that we're referring to in the previous parak. Elaha, maybe it's referring to this Mishnah. Ra'uha midaberes im acher. If we see a woman talking to another man, the Amr Lam, we ask her, Mativo shal ish zeh, ish plonik toinu. She said she's a Kohen. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yalazar, Omer Nemes, we trust her. Rabbi Shua, Omer lo mi pia anuchayim, we don't trust her. So, hasa my migu ego. What's the migu that exists in that case that we trust her according to Rabbi Gamliel? Hanichal liziri, there's a good migo, according to Ziri's understanding, who interprets the Amr my midaberes. Nister means they were in secrecy someplace, and they didn't have any bia necessarily, just spoke somewhere private. And Migo, Dibai Amra Lo Nivalti, she could have denied having any bia and say, no, there was no bia, but rather Kamra Nivalti, she said, I did have bia, however, Mehemna, so she's trusted. The fact that she could have denied it, but she told the truth, that gives her namaz. There's Migo in that case. So fine, that's a case of Migo, whereby in that particular case of Migo, Rabbi Yeshua says, I don't agree to that Migo. But in this case, in the Mishnah, here I do, there is a Migo. Again, it's a little bit unclear. We'll see later on what's going on exactly. But we're trying to find the case where there's a Migo at least to even speak of. So there can be a Migo in that case, at least according to Ze'iri's interpretation of Midaberes, means Nistira. But Ella, L'Rav Asi, Damar Mai Midaberes, he interprets the word Midaberes to mean Niveles. Well, no, where meaning Adam saw Bia, so my Migo Iko. She's not admitting to, she is forced to say there was Bia. The Adam said there was Bia. She's not, she's no other option. She can't say, I didn't have Bia. That's not on the table because Adam said there was Bia. So Migo's not an option in the interpretation of Rav Asi. So that Misha won't be, satisfactory to finding a Misha where there's a Migo that Rav Yeshua is being molded to. So then the Gemara moves on. Maybe it's referring to the following Mishnah. Ve'la ha ha. He omers mukas eitz ani. She says, I'm a mukas eitz. Ve'hu omer lo. Jew says, Ishaat, no, it was from a man. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar, Omer Nemes. She's trusted to say that she's a Mukas Eitz. And Rabbi Shua, Omer, lo mi pia anuchayim. We don't trust her. We assume that she's from a Jew says, Aish. So, Hasam, my Mika, Migo, Ika. What's the Migo there? Bishama, le Rabbi Elazar, damar biman of lo klum. That the machlokes between the two sides is that, is she Oda Amana? She says, I'm Oda 100. Because they hold the Mukas Eitz receives a mana. And he claims, no, it was a Jew's ish, and your Mekach tells, I don't owe you anything. So there's a migo there, at least in Rabbi Elazar's interpretation of that Mishnah. Di by Amra, she could have said Mukas Eitz ani tachdecha, as Mukas Eitz under you, visli Masayim, I get full 200 for being Mukas Eitz because I was married as a basula. But as she says the truth, Vekamra Mikara Dilesle Elamana Mehemna, but the truth is I was Mukas Eitz before we got married, so I really wasn't a full basula, I was a Mukas Eitz, but it wasn't Mekach Tos, so she gets 100. So that's a migo to give her credit. And the Rabbi Yochanan, who holds the machlokas, is damar b'masayim umana, that the machlokas is she thinks she gets 200, and he says you only get 100, so my migo iko. You have to look back at the Gemara to appreciate why there's no migo, but either whatever it is, Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation, there's no migo that she believed based on the migo, that can't be the Mishnah. So finally, the Gemara says, you know where everybody agrees that there's a migo that gives her nemanis, it must be in the following case. Ela aha. A man gets married to a woman, he can't find basulim. And she says, Mishesatani nenasti, once we got engaged, I was violated. V'nistach basadeo, this was your bad luck, your field was spilled and ruined. Before we got engaged is when you were violated, and you were not a basulim when we got engaged. So Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, Omrim nemenes, we trust her, that she was married as a basulim, and she's owed 200. We don't trust her. The migo, the e by amar mukas eight ani tachdecha, the lo kapasa nafshe mikuna. She could have said, "I was a mukas eight. I did something. I fell in something, and I lost my basulim while we were married. But I'm still a basula, and she's still kosher to kun if she were to get remarried." But come instead, she said the truth. Nanasti, I was violated, and by saying she was nanasti, she's in essence passing herself to kapasa nafshe mikuna. So she's trusted in making the worst claim, a worse claim, she's trusted. So that's a migo that gives her credit. And Kamer, in response to that, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Gamliel, Bahai migo dehacha modin lecha. In this migo, in the case of our Mishnah, and now second parak, which we'll explain, this type of migo, I agree, is a good migo that gives a person credit. However, Bahu migo dehasam, over there, Paligna alavaych, I'm arguing on you by the migo of her, by the Mukas 8 Nanasti case. That I don't trust. What's the difference? Why the migo of Nanasti she's not trusted, but trusting the migo here of the Pesha Aser, the case of the father and the sons of property in the mission of the second barak. So Gemara explains, what's the difference? Michli, high migo, high migo. They're both migos. Either you trust the migo, it gives her greater credit, or it doesn't give her greater credit. And the Gemara says, and we'll need Rashi to explain the difference here, Maishna high migo, mahai migo. Hacha ein shor shachal v'necha. Here, the shore is not shechted in front of you, and there the shore is shechted in front of you. That's just a mashal. We'll look at Rashi to understand this. Rashi says as follows. Around 10 lines up from the bottom here. Hacha, gavi sadeh, ein shor shachal fanecha. There's no shore shechted in front, meaning, sheyala alei balav letvo at mi shechtu, to know who shechted. In other words, the son had no idea that this was his father's property. I came over and said to him, you know, by the way, you should know, this property that I'm on was once upon a time your father's, but I bought it from him. He had no idea to do any research on his own. He never knew this was his father's. There's no sure shechted for him to do any research, if you will. Kolomer im shasek ze, if I stayed silent, lo hayu lo orim, there no one would claim the property from me. Hilkach ilav didaver pashitu, shelacha himanu lo haya omer lo shelavicha hayisa. He wouldn't have said anything had it not been an obvious point. I mean, if there was any claim from him, that from me, that I have the land, I would have told him. The fact that I was so trusted, I was so confident that I bought the land, I was willing to tell him, Davar Pashit, I didn't want to ignite any more ruin against me. So it must be I'm trusted in that case. That's a migo that we totally get. Ein shor shachal fanecha. Hilkach amina migo. That Rabbi Shua says, I agree to such a migo. Ava gave lo matzal basulim shor shachal fanecha. There's no dam basulim. There's already some reisa in the nemanis there. So if there's a reisa that she doesn't have dam basulim, the migo won't override the reisa that exists. The reisa was created by the metzias. Basulim shelo matzalo heim hisitula vola bezin. That's going to now convince him to go to bezin. V'yafa pishiyesha lahashiv. Even though she has a response, taina tova, very good one, amigo mizu. Lo amrin amigo. We still don't say the amigo because the dilma lo aska daita inami erisa kamarma. This arume kamarma. So there's some trickery going on here. Either way, the amigo in the face of some reisa, namely no dam basulim, weakens the amigo. But in this case, there's no reisa. The amigo is effective and strong. Okay, fine. Back inside the Gemara now. Gemara says last four lines of the Amud here. The came in the Rav Nidash and Basulas Nisais, Kilo also ate them my havim. So we said in the above, in the beginning of the Gemara, that if Edom come and testify that we know she was a Pesul when they got married, they had the Hemna there, or they had the Rosh HaParua, or they gave out Chiluk Klayos, all those indicate that the Chasna was one of a Pesula. So, but if there are no Edom, then we said that we trust him, the husband, that she only gets a mana. But wait a second, asks Gemara. If Rov Nashim are Besulos, so shouldn't the Rov override it, even though when there are no Edom, shouldn't we follow the Rov? Again, came in the Rov Nashim Besulos, and it says, Kilo Asa Edom, even if Edom don't come, my Havia, why would we not trust the Rov? Most women get married as a Besula, and she should get Messiah. So Amar Ravina, Ravina says, Mishum Dika Lameimar, Rov Nashim Besulos Nisais, since Rov, majority of women, are Besulos when they get married, Umiyat Almanos, and a minority of Chasanas are Almanos. V'chol ha-nisos, now this word V'chol we're going to tweak in just a moment. V'chol, and every single Nisa is a Basula, every single woman is a Basula, Yesha Kol, there's a voice. Meaning there should have been Edom. Everybody knows about the Chasanas when a Basula gets married. And V'zo, Hoyel, the Le'ein La'Kol, and this one, this particular marriage, there are no Edom that they saw the Hemna, they didn't see the Rosh Parua. That's going to show there's a certain Reisa, Israel Ruba, that now weakens the Rov Nashim that are married as Basulos, and therefore we can't follow the Rov because the Rov has a Reisa from the fact that every other marriage of a Basula there are Edom, and this one there are no Edom. That makes it smell something fishy here, and maybe she wasn't really a Basula. It weakens the Rov. And I said, wait a second, E Kol Hanisas Basula. It's true that every single marriage of a Basula has a Yesh LaKol. There is a Kol every single one. He also ate them. Even if ate them, come my havia. What's going to be hanech sade shakininu? Those are going to be ate them who are lying because everyone else would have heard about it. There shouldn't have been a shaila. So to say ate them that they saw the hemna, that means isn't there coal? Everyone knows about it. There shouldn't even be a shaila in the first place. So the Gemara says that no. El amar ravina rav ravina rov hanisay basula yeshal kol. Most weddings of a basula, there's a coal. People know about it. There's not going to be a shaila. And the Zuhov ain la kol, since there's no kol in this case, and there are also no edim, is a ruba, and therefore weakens the rov, and we rely on trust him over her. So now the Gemara says, im yesha edim shiyatza behenuma, if she had these edim that she had this henuma, which we haven't defined yet what that is, or any other indications that she was a besula, so then we trust that she gets masayim, otherwise we trust him, she only gets a mana. So Gemara says, wait a second. There's a chashash right now. We say we trust Edom. But wait a second. Isn't the ksuba also a very good proof how she gets Messiah? Take out the ksuba and see if you're Basula and Amana. So if we're saying we trust Edom, so now Edom are going to, she's going to go to Bezdin A, and Edom are going to testify that they saw Henuma and she was a Basula. And then maybe she'll go to a different Edom and whip out her ksuba with different bezin, whip out her ksuba and say, oh, I'm owed 200. And she might collect from the husband once from Edom and once from ksuba. So why is that fair? So the Gemara says, the Amir Abohu, Zos Ameris, Kosin Shover. The din is that when a husband pays his ksuba from Edom in the first place, we write him a receipt. And when she tries collecting from her, from him in a second bezin using the ksuba now, he could just show his shover. I paid once already and can't pay me. I don't pay it a second time. So that's how you avoid it. Now the problem is keeping receipts, as we know, is very difficult. How long does he have to hold on to receipt for? How long could this last for? And let's say he loses it. And that's a big a burden on him to have to watch the shover. So others say that you don't have to keep a shover. It's not fair to him. So rather, Amar Papa Amar, but Malcolm Shane Kosin Ksubaski. And we're talking about a situation whereby you don't write a ksuba, and therefore there's no chashash. Now I know you're wondering, wait a second, if they're Edom in Bezdin A, so can't you find a different set of Edom and go to a Bezdin B to collect this again? The Gemara at the bottom is going to address that question. But right now we're concerned only with one set of Edom. So one set of Edom, and then they either write the shover, so he protects himself, or the, another concern is there's no ksuba, we don't write a ksuba in this area, and therefore there's no chashash of her trying to pull out a ksuba to collect yet a second time. So Gemara says, Ikedemase la abraisa, others have this machlokas between Rabbi Abohu and Rabbi Papa about kosin shovar, or in a place of not writing ksuba, referring to a braisa instead. Ikedemase la abraisa. The braisa says, if the ksuba says she loses her ksuba, hitamina ksuba says she hides her ksuba, nisrifa ksuba, her ksuba's burden, if they danced in front of her like they danced in front of Basula, they did playfulness in front of her like they do with the Basula, they passed in front of her some type of kosh, so Basura, which we'll see what that means, or mapesh of basulim, or some type of cloth of basulim. All these are indicators of a chasen of a basula. Im yesh le'edim, if be'echad mikol elu, if they're edim that testify about any of these that took place at their chasna, then ksubasim asayim. So that's the brisa. Now on this brisa, so again, she lost her ksuba, she burnt her ksuba, it was hidden somewhere. So asks Gemara, v'hadar mafke l'ksubasa b'hai bez, lichesh, lechesh, duma mafke edim b'hai bezin. So maybe she go to bezin A with the edim who saw that. V'gavim collect the ksuba. V'hadar mafke l'ksubasa b'hai bezin. And then she go take out a ksuba which was lost. Now she found v'gavyaba and collect it in bezin B. So Amar Rabbi Abo, zosameris, kosvin shover. No. The husband is written a receipt, so even though she collected once with Edim, and now she tries collecting a second time with a ksuba, he could just take out a shover to say, I already paid once before, you can't charge me a second time. But Papa, Amar Papa says, B'malkum shein kosin ksuba. Askin, we're talking about a case where no ksuba is written, and no ksuba is written, there's no chashash at all, him, her taking out a ksuba, because there's no ksuba. Who asks the question, wait a minute. The Bryce clearly said she lost a ksuba, which means that there was a ksuba in this case. Gemara says, no, because the kasev le'ihu, that he decided to write a ksuba. Meaning the practice of the makam was not to write ksubas, he decided to write a ksuba. Okay, well, if he decided to write a ksuba, sof, mafki le, gavya, begavya be. Well, then if the maisa, there's a ksuba that's written, can't you just pull out the ksuba and try to collect from him in a second bezdin? So Gemara says, my ivda, what does ivda mean? Ivda means ivda be'or, is lost in fire. Well, it was lost in fire, ihachi, hainu nisrifa. That's exactly the other example of the brisa, where it was burnt. What's the difference between now ivda and nisrifa, if they're both meaning burnt? V'yod, hitminu ma'ik lememar. And even if you want to say that ivda means nisrifa, that they were both burnt somehow, but hitminu means it was hidden, buried, it still exists somehow, so shouldn't we be concerned that she might pull out the ksuba and collect in the second place? So how could her, so how does that protect anyone? So v'su ivdu lamli, and ivdu, and the unclear what this question means, Tosa says on the bottom here, if you look at v'su ivdu lamli to explain the question here, that ya'afa gab du l'chora hainu pircha kamais, even though this appears to be the first question we just asked, the par hainu nisrva, yesh liyasha, we could explain the second question, v'su means hachi gamar. V'su afilu im nemar the nisrva havi pirusha din evda, v'komakam tiksha ivdu lamli. Okay, so unclear what the question is, but either way, the number of questions on this particular brisa, it sounds like there actually was a case of a ksuba. So how could Rav Papa suggest there's a place where there's no ksuba written, that's why there's no chashash of her collecting the ksuba. But there clearly was a ksuba that was written. Ella, kol ivda ki itmina bifaneinu damu, v'lo yahavin elei, adam re'edim nisifra ksubasa. In other words, whenever a ksuba was lost, in other words, the place where the ksuba was written, and they lost it, we consider that as if it was hidden in front of us, in which case we would not trust Edim to say that we know this was a chasana of a besula, because we're always choshesh that you might pull out the ksuba. The only time we trust Edim is if there are also Edim that say we saw that the ksuba was burnt, now the ksuba doesn't exist in the world anymore, then we could trust another Edim who said that the chasana was one of a besula. That's what's going on here. So that's the situation. So now the Gemara says, man demasila abraisa koshkein amayiz masis. And the one who had this machlokas of Rav Bohu and Rav Papa on this brisa certainly will have the machlokas on the Mishnah as well. And man demasila amasisin ava abraisa lo kikusha. So what's going on? If you need to look at Rashi to explain this, Rashi says, man demasila, around halfway down the lines here, man demasila, the one who teach the Rav Bohu and Rav Papa on the brisa, and certainly this will fit with the Mishnah. Why? The Chavin da Braisa de Katani Behadei, the Braisa which said explicitly, Ibda Ksubasa, Gaba, if they lost the Ksuba, she's able to collect based on the Edim. The Allah come Rapapa, and Rapapa on that says, Delo Gavya, we actually don't let her collect. He changes the Girsa of the Braisa, Umitaritz Lachad, and he reads that one line. The ibda ksubasa rehu kamishit mina uchshenisvahu the kagavya, only when it's burnt does she collect. He reinterpreted it, uliyom ein kosin shover, but you really don't ever write a shover to them. That's a papa's understanding. If he's able to reinterpret the brisa, even though brisa says that she can collect when there's a ksuba, and he says you can collect when there's a ksuba, koshkin certainly damasis, and certainly in the Mishnah, iklamisne pluk sidir of a papa, adirbo, certainly had the machlokas in the Mishnah, the makam shein kosin ksuba askin. He could certainly say explicitly that that Mishnah is a case where you don't write a ksuba. Again, in the brisa, you have to change words around to explain why it's a case of ein kosin, makam shein kosin ksuba. But the Mishnah, where it's much easier to say that, certainly that they had the machlokas by the Mishnah. But the flip side, Man de Masni plucks the Rapapa Rabbi Boa Masisin, where it's very easy to say it was a case where there's no ksuba, but the Bryce, where the Bryce explicitly says that there was a ksuba, much harder to apply the machlokas of Papa Rabbi Boa to that very Bryce. Fine. Back inside the Gemara now. Gemara says, Im Yesh Edim, quoting the Mishnah. V'leichash Duma, Mafke Edehenuma, Bahai Bezdin, Vegave, V'hother, Mafke Edehenuma, Bezdin Achrina, Vegave. We just said before, the first concern was that Edim go to Bezdin A, and Ksuba is collecting from Bezdin B. And we said, no, Ksuba is not a concern, either because there's a receipt that the husband can protect himself, or there's no Ksuba, Makum Shein Kosum Ksuba. So Ksuba has really been neutralized. But now the Gemara asks, but wait a second, can't Edim go with him to her to Bezdin A, and then those same Edim or perhaps other Edim go to Bezdin B? How is the husband going to protect himself? And the Gemara says, "B'makom de le'efsher v'adei kasfin and shavrin." In the end of the day, in a situation where it's impossible to protect himself otherwise, so then in the case where there's no ksuba, for example, so then he would have to receive a shover in order to protect himself. So then the Gemara quotes from that brisa above that there's some other indicators that this woman was a basulim and she got married, and one of them was "Hevil fanava kos shel basur." They'd send in front of her, pass in front of her some cup of basur. What does "kos shel basur" mean? "My kos shel basur," asks the Gemara. Rav Ada Rava Kos Yain Shel Truma Ma'avir Lefanea. They pass in front of her a cup of wine, the wine that came from Truma. Kolomer, to tell you, Ru'uya Haisa Zu Le'echel B'Truma, that this woman's a basula, and she's Rai. If she were to marry a Kohen, she'd be a Rai to eat Truma. So masculine, a papa, Atu Amana Milo Achla B'Truma, an Amana also, a widow who now marries a Kohen is also allowed to eat Truma. A Grusha who marries a Kohen can eat Truma, but Amana can. So just the fact that you pass Kosha Bracha, Kosha Basur of Truma in front of her, that would also be just as likely for a Basula as it was for Amana. So that's not really an indicator that she was a Basula. Ella Amra Papa Zu Rashis Kichuma. The reason why I pass in front of her, not to say that she'd be Mutter to eat Truma, because Amana could also mutter, but just like Truma is rachis, the first thing we give, the first thing we separate from the new grains, the new produce from the season, we first give to the Kohen. It's the rachis, Ketruma, to rachis as well. She's a rachis, this is her first marriage, and that she's a basula. That's the simon of passing a kos yayin shel Truma in the chasana of a basula. Tanya the Brisa says that Rabbi Yehuda Omer, chavis shel yayin mavirin lefaneha, we pass in front of her a barrel of wine, and Amr of Ad Bar Ava, he says, Basula Mavirin Lefanea Stuma. We have a closed barrel of wine pass in front of her if she's a Basula. And Bu'ula Mavirin Lefanea Psucha. And if it's a Bu'ula, if she's ready to be married before, we pass in front of her a barrel that's open to indicate whether there's Damasum or not Damasum. That's the Simon. So Amai asks Gemara, why don't we do the following? Why do we have to, maybe we should do it as follows. Na'avar Kame Basula V'Kame Bu'ula Lo Na'avar Klav. Instead of doing a one open, one close, in front of Basula, pass a barrel of wine, and in front of a Bula, don't do anything. Why one open, one close? That would also be a good one, have a barrel, one not have a barrel at all. And the Gemara says, because Zimnin the Tafse Masayim, sometimes she'll take 200, Vamra Anna Basula Havi, I was a Basula at the time, Vahai Delo Avri Kamai, and the reason why they didn't pass the barrel in front of me, you know, Adam that saw there was a barrel of wine, why, you know why? Adnuse hu Adnuse, some onus happened there, and they forgot to, they didn't have a chance to pass the barrel in front of me, and therefore, she had a taina. So this way you can't make such a taina. To avoid that, they said they always had a barrel in front of every chasa, they passed a barrel of wine. One was open, one was closed. That would be a much safer bet, a safer raya, that she in fact was a besula. Okay, everybody have a wonderful day, and a wonderful Shabbos.